Did you have sex with that woman, Ms. Lewinsky? Point blank question. Haha. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. I asked a point blank question yesterday to my friend Dan Sheridan. It's not that question, but the question is, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit, and then I'm going to get off of it. But do you still believe in the sovereignty of God, or have you surrendered it for the belief that God only does some things? He's only responsible for some things, only the good things, and that not everything, absolutely speaking, is out of God? That's my question. And I'll ask it in a Bill Clinton accent if you want. I don't know. I do no longer believe that God is in control of everything. The next thing I want to know, and I'm trying to be civil, I'm trying to be nice, I'm a nice guy. I try to be as nice as I can, as gentlemanly as I can, without being confrontational. It's a tightrope I walk. I don't recommend you to try this at home. I'm a professional. This is very difficult to do. Paul talks about meekly training those who are antagonizing. I think that's in Titus. The thing is, that word for training, I looked it up, it's the word hit. To hit. So I have to meekly hit people. You know how hard it is to do that? The next question I'd like to ask is, are you abandoning the salvation of all? Because Otis Sellers has abandoned it. I talked about Otis Sellers yesterday, and his website is, I almost hesitate to send you here, folks, because there are some very smart people who apparently go to this site and become mesmerized by the teaching. And this site is a sinkhole of error. And I'm going to read a quote from here, seedandbread.org. Please go into this website with your wits about you, okay? Using sound thinking, sound teaching. And I looked at several places on this website, and I find that the reasoning of Otis Sellers is childlike. I wouldn't trust this guy with a box of matches, let alone with the scripture. It's that bad. I mean, I could spend weeks pointing out the errors here, but let me just read one quote from you. Go to seedandbread.org, then go to free Bible studies, then go to complete table of contents, then go to file number 130, which is called Does God Know? Question mark. Does God Know? Question mark. Anybody that could even ask that question is already done. You're done. If you can even entertain that question, well, we need to consider all things. Really? I read that we need to be rooted and grounded in the truth. And once you know that all is of God, then that's where you camp. That's where you put down your stakes. That's where you settle. And the day you start asking yourself, does God know everything? That's Satan putting that question in there. Martin, we're to question everything. Show me that verse. We're to check up to see if the things are true. But once you find out what is true, you're rooted and grounded in the truth. Otherwise, Paul calls it being blown about by every wind of teaching. Maybe God's not in control of everything. Quote from Otis Sellers. From the writing titled, Does God Know? Question mark. Quote, on my part, I feel it would be insufferable pride and egotism for me to think that God takes knowledge every time I sit down or get up. I am not that important in his sight, and neither is anyone else at this time. I continue. Otis Sellers, quote, Psalm 147:5 is cited as proof that God knows everything about everyone, past, present, and future. In this passage, we are told, quote, his understanding is infinite, unquote. But this is far removed from being proof that God took and retained within himself knowledge of what I had for dinner 2 weeks ago or what I will eat for breakfast 2 weeks from today. These acts of mine are in no way related to his purposes, and they pass by without him taking any notice, unquote. So the God who has the hairs of my head numbered, according to Otis Sellers and his infinite reasoning powers, tells me that these acts of yours, these small things, are in no way related to God's purpose, and they pass by without him taking any notice. God does not take any notice. Read this whole thing if you can stomach it. Don't eat first. I would allow 2 hours after your last meal before you go to this website. It's that bad. And this is the same guy telling us in an article titled Tapanta, which is a study of the Greek word all, that God is not in control of every detail. And there's another There's another article called Universalism Disavowed, number 189. So this contains the comforting truth that some of your loved ones are going to be destroyed forever, and that not everyone is going to end up with God for eternity. Great comforting truth, huh? And I could spend a week, literally, or 2 weeks, showing you the fallacies of reasoning and the misinterpreted scriptures. This guy's making fun of Psalm 147:5. We are told that verses like his understanding is infinite. That's a pretty good verse. We're told that this means that his understanding is infinite. Obviously, God doesn't care what I had for dinner 2 weeks ago. Oh, really? God gives to all life and breath and all. Acts 17, 24-25. On and on it goes. It's just, you've heard me teach on the sovereignty of God. This is foundational. You're done if you lose this. If you lose this, you're done. You need to be turned off. Your website needs to be shut down and you need to regroup. You need to go to a desert land, sit under a palm tree, and think about things for a while, because you are way off and everything you're going to do after this is off. So Otis Sellers is off on two key critical points. I mentioned five main things you need to know. And if you're off of these, you're off. But these are the biggest: the sovereignty of God, that God is operating all things in accord with the counsel of his own will. And here's a nice little verse, 1 John 3:20, God knows everything. That kind of seals it for me. Plus, I know the definition of God, subjector. He subjects everything to himself. And even Job, what did Job say? Here's the kernel, here's the nugget, here's the essence. Shall we not receive good from the hand of the Lord and evil? And the Lord, Job spoke what was right concerning the Lord. You read the rest of this crummy writing here called Does God Know? Question mark, and you find out that God really doesn't care about the details. He's not in the details, and some people are just so stubborn that they're gonna send themselves into annihilation, and God is certainly not going to save them. No, he's not going to save them. So this might be your mother, your father, your children. Is this our message? Is this the evangel? Is this the gospel? This is the same guy now who's telling us that there's a 500-year time period. Nobody's ever seen this before. It's amazing. That God, Christ, is going to come to the earth and rule before the millennium. Before the millennium. And the evidence offered are three obscure passages, not obscure, but three passages in the book of Philippians speaking of the day of Christ. The day of Christ. Otis Sellers is making that an epic, a long 500 period. The day of Christ is simply when we're manifested before Christ. Christ is acknowledged publicly as the head of the universe, and we receive our rewards. It's part of Paul's evangel. Paul talks about it. Simple. It's very simple. Otis Sellers makes it an epic, and he has all these pseudo-proof texts that aren't proof texts at all. This man's not to be followed. That's why I fear. So, again, when you're off on these foundationals, you're off. Now, I'm teaching in the book of the Unveiling that we are in the end days and that Daniel's 70th heptad will be immediately followed by the tribulation. The tribulation is included in that time, and that will mark the inauguration of the 1,000 years. And there's no intervening period, unknown. There is no intervening period. There's no proof of it. And some of the proof texts used for this are deplorable. Somebody's wrong and somebody's right. Either Otis Sellers is right or I'm right. Well, I'm telling you this, I'm right. And A. E. Nock is right. And Dr. Bullinger's right. These guys aren't right because they're Nock and Bullinger. It's because when we follow up on their studies and we look at the evidence and we use the brain God gave us to put pieces together and follow laws of language, that's the way it is. If we look at someone who is loosey-goosey with human reasoning and takes verses that have nothing to do with the matter at hand and use them as proof texts, then we need to suspect that. If we have a man who says that God doesn't know or care what you're doing, I would say that the rest of his teaching is also suspect. I'm not saying that you can, if you're wrong in one thing, you're wrong in everything. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying that if your methods of interpretation are to be trusted, we need to see that they can be trusted. And if I find several instances of severe misses, not just a swing and a miss, but like you're swinging, instead of a baseball bat, you're using a stalk of celery. Just, you're disqualified. And again, I read that verse yesterday from Romans, which said that Not recognizing God as God is the beginning of many bad things, and you go off on terrible rabbit trails. And I don't want to see that to happen to anyone. All right, on to the subject at hand. Today we're going to talk about the glassy sea. There's a glassy sea in front of the throne of God that John saw. And we're going to go to Revelation, and we are going to chapter 4, verse 6. And before the throne, it is as a glassy sea, like crystal. Remember, it's not crystal, it's like crystal. And it appeared to John as a glassy sea. This is interesting because the world is, God generally uses two forms of judgment to clear the table, to change the world, and it's water and fire. Now, this glassy sea speaks of water. It's an intimation that God has previously wiped out the earth with water. It's like a glassy sea. And that's exactly what God has done twice. The disruption of the world is the first time he did it, when the world was covered by water. Peter talks about that. And at the beginning of God's recreation, we find that the water covers the surface of the land, and there's darkness over the land. And water covers it because God used water in the disruption. Now, water is not as severe a change as fire. Water does not intrinsically change something. It's a physical outward cleansing, kind of like baptism. When they poured water over your head and baptizing you, or a John with Jesus in the Jordan River, it was symbolic. It was an outward cleansing. The Pharisees baptized pots and pans and things of the sanctuary. It's not radical or permanent. And so, but fire is. Fire is more radical. It's a chemical change. It's something that endures. It purifies intrinsically. And now we find that things are going to change permanently. Okay, the earth was destroyed in the disruption, and it was also destroyed in the flood of Noah. Those were bad enough. I'm not saying they're not bad. By this, God cleansed the earth. But what happened? Noah came out the boat, and we still have the same old going on. He gets drunk, and just bad things happening. Nimrod, Babel, on. So fire is God's new method. Remember, God sent the rainbow to say, I will no longer destroy the earth by water. But don't get too smug, because he didn't say anything about fire, did he? Fire is coming. Fire is coming. And interesting, I think this glassy sea speaks of what God did in the past, his judgment in the past by water. But what's coming is a more radical change. It's like God's not fooling around anymore. Not that he was fooling around before, but you understand. A radical chemical change. It's permanent, and it's going to have abiding results. That's what we want. We're finally going to get this done, because the fire, the judging fire, and we just said yesterday, the seven spirits were like fire. God's ministers are like flames of fire, pillars of fire. They're like fire, in that fire chemically changes things. You throw a piece of paper into the fire, and where does it go? You pour water over a piece of paper, and the piece of paper's wet. You throw a piece of paper into the fire, and its chemical composition changes, and it turns into smoke. And it goes away, and the smoke disappears. Where'd the paper go? Well, when God ushers in the eons of the eons, the judgments are going to be more severe, more long-lasting. And we don't need to fear this fire, because from the hand of God, it's always good. And I'll be like David here, and I'll say, I would much rather be delivered into the hand of God than into the hand of man. I will take fire from God. And we know that judgment begins in the house of God. Peter said that. That's for Israel. We have come out of judgment. We have now been delivered into the kingdom, figuratively speaking, of the Son of his love. And we don't need to fear these things anymore. But for the earth, for those who are still stubborn to the ways of God, through no fault of their own, God makes vessels of dishonor. Sorry, Otis Sellers. God makes vessels of dishonor, and he is the author of good and evil. He said that, Isaiah 45:7. And he knows everything. Yeah, he even has the hairs of my head numbered. He knows what I ate for breakfast 2 weeks ago, and he knows what I'm going to eat for lunch 2 weeks from now. That comforts me. I don't know why anyone would want to misconstrue verses to teach the opposite thing. What a comfort that would be, to think that God doesn't control everything. That's comforting. Why would you work hard to make that happen? There are so many verses laying on the surface that tells us that all is of God. I'll close with this. Ephesians 1:11, God is operating all things in accord with the counsel of his own will.